He's like a little kid, I swear.
Oh, no, here we are.
Oh, we have... he got rid of it.
Where's, oh no, that's the logo. Here we go.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Reality NSFW. I'm Elaine Stott from season 39 of Survivor. As always, my sidekick, Professor Tim Wilson. And today we got two big heavy hitters in the house from the Circle UK. We got Andy in the building and Natalia. Thank you guys for coming on with us. Don't get too upset if we get a little sidetracked. I say this to everybody. We kind of go on tangents and we don't even talk about the Circle half the time. So just enjoy the ride.
The Circle, by definition, is a sort of is all encompassing. So, you know, I think Circle, Egg, whatever it is. So, Andy, Natalia, it's so wonderful to see that you both survived. I'm getting both our reality TVs into one sentence there. Where do we begin? I watched the finale last night with bated breath. In fact, my partner told me that there were beads of sweat dropping down my forehead when we came to the point where you were revealed as the winner, Natalia.
Yeah.
Congrats on that.
So congratulations. I was heartbroken to see you booted out, Andy.
Close, wasn't it? It's close.
It was really close. To be honest, I thought you were going about 4 days ago.
I know you had a theory that I wasn't going to make it to this point. But by your standards, I did very, very well.
Well, you know, I have learned how to read the edit by watching this program in America, Survivor. And
he's a professional now.
And I must say, there are times when I just think, oh my goodness, I see where this is going. And I've got five major topics that I want to cover, and that way we might just about remain on topic. Is that okay?
I doubt it.
So cool.
We can so try. Let's go.
We can hope.
So my first question is very simple: to catfish or not to catfish? Is catfishing intrinsically? I suppose I have to start off by asking Andy that question.
So, is it intrinsically what? Sorry,
I'm immoral. Is it intrinsically immoral? I think the im disappeared there.
I think my view changed during the show. I think I went in there with quite a strong belief that it was. I think the hard thing is you cannot legislate for liking a person. Right. That's the key. And look at Natalia, albeit she binned me in the ratings. I loved her, loved Hash. And I think they're the example of you can't fake a connection. Mm-hmm. I think when it is done purely for money, or what I believe to be slightly left of morally right, I'm not comfortable with it. But I think, I think my view changed quite dramatically from the show, actually, because I think, ironically, say Manrika played it in a way that I felt was immoral, but was a real person. And I thought the juxtaposition of the way she played it versus a catfish played it was actually really interesting. Like, the cast was wonderful. So, no, I think my view has changed. I think my view has really changed, actually. Yeah.
Natalia, go on. Same question. What do you think? Do you regret being a catfish, I suppose, is the sub-question there?
I don't think I had a choice.
I know that position, by the way.
Yeah, so I was who I was supposed to be, and I think at the start I was so one-dimensional and flat. That's when I was being my kind of catfish. And then as soon as I injected myself into it, and that's when I think there was less Felix, more kind of me. And that's when all the emotional guilt and everything came on top of it. But like I said, I had no choice. I had to be Felix. And I mean, it worked, right?
Yes, it worked very well.
Do you regret though, like getting in the relationship with the man?
Yeah, I think I told myself very early on, and once I put myself into that box, I saw no way out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She'd sniff fear. She'd sniff it out. I have to be on film every time.
Right.
Absolutely. It's true. It's true. But the thing about you was you projected serenity all the time. And
boring.
No, it wasn't boring.
It was boring.
It was a relief when people like Andy were leaping on the furniture. I was just saying, oh, God, give me a moment with Natalia, please. And in the last episode, Andy was leaping on his bed.
I don't even... Do you know when it happened? I didn't even remember doing that. I was like, what am I doing?
Did your children approve? Do you let them leap on the bed?
I mean, they're wholly unasked by the whole experience. Zach and Poppy, totally. The only time Poppy wanted to watch was when I was dressed as an elephant. That was
you were lovely as an elephant.
That was hilarious. When you was taking a nap and it's like, that was great.
But no, they jump on the bed all day, Tim. All day long. They're free to roam. Free to roam.
I think children should have exercise. Natalia, you didn't do any jumping on the bed, but you did some quite decorous sprawling across the sofa.
Yeah, I think I got bored. They got bored of me just sitting on the sofa all day, and they were like, "Can you just be a bit more creative with sit there and talk?" I had no expression because I knew what was coming in a sense. So I'd be like, "Alert, hello."
I couldn't work out how many more days we had until we finished our series, and I was very much aware that they were worried that I pretty well exhausted all the various positions I could stand in or sit in the apartment, and suddenly they started bringing in what is it, bath foam, quite a lot of it, and I thought, oh my God, I know where we're going now. So I said, Could I please have some ducks if I've got to do this? And a bubble machine. So I think I scuppered that wonderful moment where you wouldn't have been able to see me for the bubbles. It would have been like Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo in Cinderella. It would just been a bubble fest. And I would have popped out of the middle of it with, hello. But yeah, you have to ring the changes, I fear. To make it exciting. Did you do any dancing? I don't remember any dancing, Talia.
I did as a tiger. Was I a tiger or a lion? Yeah, I did lots of dancing.
We had a lot of... Before Nat came in, we had two nights where I think I was dressed as Bully from Bullseye, you know, like...
Really?
And I was doing some break dancing and we all had to guess Lord. We had to guess who was in what suit. But none of these things made the edit.
That didn't make the edit, did it? Oh, this is where you were dancing in front of...
They did it two nights. They dressed us up as animals two nights, but they only showed the second one.
Okay.
The first one was before the night before Nat joined. Yeah.
So you were a bull and then an elephant. Are they saying something?
I think so. Oh. I think there's a subliminal message there.
We have to go through all these messages. I'm sure there's something there, but and that was where you were standing in front of your loo door, isn't it?
Yes,
and because I've heard about James was a rabbit and his ears were touching the ceiling or something.
When I started to break dance, my head fell off, so they had to refill it.
Do you remember in my series when Richard Madeley was doing all the twerking and stuff?
Yes.
And he was represented by this little robot. Well, it looked so masculine, so they had to say beforehand, don't be distracted by the robot. It looks very masculine. And I think we all sort of took in on that. I was thinking, I loathe this person. I loathe this person because they'd attacked my cats. So all I could do was project hatred I didn't, you know, I didn't care what he was doing. I didn't know any of the dance moves.
Never hateful.
I do hope not. And I met him later. I got a hug from Richard and from the real Judy, which was one. She's gorgeous.
Yeah.
She's just, you know, that is television royalty. Yeah. Oh, that brings us on to another onto another thing, because we can't ignore it. I was going to say we can't ignore the elephant in the room, but given your previous identity, Andy.
what a segue!
No. It's a completely as opposed to the tiger in the room, who of course is Manrika. Do you not love Manrika's father, by the way?
Yes, she's got such a family.
Imagine he's sending Natalia a message. He's like a really lovely guy. He sent me one. He's really lovely guy.
Isn't he lovely? He sent me a message as well. I just think so.
Hey, there it is.
What?
Did you not hear it?
She didn't get a message. I've not seen it with all my inbox. I don't know. Let's think of that.
Oh, okay. there's some hope. It might be down at the bottom. You might have to dig for it.
I was just going to say thoughts about Prince Philip.
Oh,
very tragic,
isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know about a lot about all those people over there, but I did see that on Twitter that he had passed. So
all our family.
We call it government here. Do you guys call it the same over there? Is it called government? What's it called?
I don't really. It's called monarchy here.
The monarchy. I would kind of refer.
Yeah,
to
but
oh,
but
well, I, that's I, why I just said those people, because I had no idea what the hell y'all called.
I suddenly realized today. So yesterday I dug out a blazer and a black tie, and today I suddenly realised I don't have a black armband. I'm looking like Santa, and I have no black armband. I should have a black armband.
What's that for? Wait, explain that.
Official mourning. We are as a country, we are now in official mourning.
Yeah, because for us here, it's everywhere. It's
right.
Yeah. And rightly so, it's such a huge part of our kind of culture and our identity that both him and the Queen have lived for so long that actually it doesn't happen in our lifetimes almost at the moment. So it's a really rare occasion, and it's just sad, isn't it? It's just really
it's really sad. So your episode occurring last night was a sort of a little bit of boost to our spirits, I think, and you know, I thought it was one of the better episodes. There was a lot crammed in there, and I think in season two when we did it, the events of that last episode were split into two episodes, and I think the final was a little lingering, whereas yours seemed almost perfect. Can we start with the wonderful and delightful Shabazz? Because I was terribly sorry. I was terribly sorry that Andy, how could you, Andy, Natalia, how could you possibly have thought that Shabazz was Pippa and Joey? How did you get that wrong?
We were responsible. They were one each. I hadn't anticipated them being. So what you missed in the edit was mine and me and Nat were really heavy on it because Hash and Manrika hadn't seen it, and we were like, one is Pippa, one is Femi.
Needed to have seen that. So you didn't have the context.
For me, I was only picking one of two, and it was more. Alice had been more aggressive in their way of about, but for some reason I didn't strongly consider Tom. My honest debate, I mean, was between Alice and Manrika, and I thought Manrika deserved, regardless of what happened between us, I thought she deserved the opportunity to be in the final. So it felt Like, who am I to deprive Natalia and Manrika their moment in the
of
sun?
Of that love, yeah, of that like, love.
On the front yeah. of the boat, the Titanic moment. But
I would have been so scared for that moment, Natalia. No, I would have been freaking.
Because we were so hell-bent on it, and I felt that we'd got really good camaraderie between, like, the kind of the longer-staying players, that Shabazz was and when I met him, he was in a state of it was shaking, he was pacing, and it was lovely to meet him. But that but I it, but thought it, they'd capture my shock because I was expecting Pippa,
and right
because right, when I walk in, I snake skin heel boots and everything, so I thought we got it right.
Yeah.
And then Shabazz turned, and I was like, this is like, what I was ready for.
All right,
but what. I didn't pick up your shock there. What I picked up was the incredible warmth of your meeting. So you must have had more conversations than we saw.
Yeah, so there was probably about 10 seconds of pause where I was just shocked because I was certain we had it correct.
Yeah.
And then I just felt huge empathy because it was like, yeah, we've got this wrong. But then once we'd had the conversation and it was clear, because he said to me, why? And yeah, I just said, you were so antagonistic. It left us with yeah, no choice. And I think because, like, I've really had a strong connection with Felix.
Yes.
And Felix was getting lumps taken out of him and I couldn't rationalise it. And then it became very clear, Shabazz's opinion of Felix was so low at the time.
Yeah.
And I was defending Felix vehemently. And so it was a really nice meet because it was there was sincerity because I felt real responsibility because really me and Nat, I think we were the ones that led the kind of, not the charge of let's set them up, but certainly that we thought it was people in the family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But
he never disagreed when I asked him, are you Pippa? I think he was so shocked. He just kind of played along. So I was just like, Pippa.
But he didn't know who Pippa was.
No, I know, but he never even went, why do you keep calling me Pippa? So it's quite a funny conversation.
So for you, that was confirmation. For you, that was confirmation. Yeah. Right, yo, he's avoiding it altogether. Yeah. Oh, that makes sense.
So you got it wrong. So the moment you got it wrong, you knew that Father Tom was both Pippa and
when we were sat around the table, the debate between us all was is it both of them or one of them, and that was what the drum roll that you watched was when we were waiting for them to come in.
Right. Yeah. So the big reveal, in fact, wasn't that much of a reveal at all.
The big reveal was walking in and seeing Natalia and Hash sat there.
I noticed. Yeah, absolutely. I noticed two things from the Father Tom thing. First of all, that Father Tom has. I just thought that he'd got a vowel problem, and that it was really it should really have been called Father Tim. somebody else pointed this out, by the way. And then to emphasize that point, he opens a book on how to be a monk or something. Did you see this?
Yeah, that was hilarious. Yeah. I think it was Joey who was reading it, right? Joey was reading it?
Yeah. Oh, he's wonderful. I thought they did a spectacular job.
They played better together than they ever did apart. Yeah. I thought they smashed it the next time.
They gave each other energy. They became themselves. The people that we now know are those two. They weren't the same until they were
that's
together.
Right. That's right. Yeah. But this is part of the problem of playing in isolation. In isolation, you get sort of drained. Your energy goes, and then this lack of energy communicates through the television screen. And you're sort of bundled into twist and chaos after chaos. But once you're put together with somebody else, you bounce off each other. It's wonderful. I remember Joyce. I didn't believe a word of Joyce, but I loved her. I loved her. And the more ridiculous she became, the more I loved her. I just wanted more of Joyce all the time. And she was probably the best character in my series, where I'm afraid nobody can compete with Ash's Uncle Syed, who was just adorable.
Hilarious. Yeah. I told you, I really do believe we should hook him and Manrika up. I think that they're the perfect couple. I'm sorry, Felix, but that's just how I feel.
But Ash was so protective of you as well, Natalia.
Oh, yeah, he was just the most genuine soul. And, you know, after the final, we had some really nice chats. And he is as he comes across, exactly the same.
Yeah, 100%. I just think he's, you know, I want to get him on one of these as well, too. Very soon. We've sort of run out of episodes now. We're going to have to wait for the American episodes and then force everybody to watch that and comment vaguely.
Do you guys watch the American Circle? Have you seen the...
I've seen it.
Have you seen Trudon?
We kind of all watched it together, like this cast. I think we kind of... Because we have a group, and so we were all talking about the show because it was kind of the lead up. Yeah, exactly. Like it was almost like... pre-counseling for what was to come.
That's a good way to put it.
You should have had me in there too. Now look, second big question. What about a showmance? Is that I think my personal opinion is that is the decider. What production company could possibly resist a showmance? So were you aware of was that in your game plan when you went in, Natalia?
I was quite naive when everything started falling around myself and Manrika, because, you know, everyone started slowly falling apart from us. And I was like, oh, God, this... I didn't know. I was just kind of building dinosaurs going, woo, me and Manrika, la, la, la. And, like, the circle was burning around us and everyone was because of our romance. And I think anyone that got in the way of that was kind of gone, unfortunately.
Right.
Only towards the very end that it kind of clicked. I was like, oh, no, I'm the big catfish reveal.
I'm afraid so.
At the end, I was like, oh.
I was very surprised at the end that they brought you in so soon. I thought you would be the last person to come in to that meeting.
Why did I? I didn't know I'd be there. But I'm so glad Hashi was there.
Oh God, absolutely. In my head I had that scene played with probably you in there first.
Yeah. Either at the start or at the very end, that
would have been terrifying. I think it would have been very, very difficult to watch.
Yeah. I don't know how you went through it to begin with, because I was freaking out for you. The entire show, I was freaking out. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be terrible in the end. Manrika done fell in love, and you gonna be have to break it to her. It's like, yo, I was so nervous for you.
Well, Natalia, you look pretty nervous that evening anyway.
I was nervous. I think I actually spoke to production of how I wanted to reveal who I was before the final ratings, but there was just not enough time and they wouldn't let me have those chats. That final episode was very much the breakfast, then straight away into the family kind of videos, and then straight away getting ready. It was, you know, so quick, but it was just such a rushed day that day. And after I saw Scott and he was just like, you know, we could all be catfish. And that chat was very much like, I kind of started to get really paranoid. I was like, what if the catfish is being catfished? And I just sat in my head and I was like, we're all catfish. In the end, I decided, I thought you were a catfish, Andy.
Really?
Yeah.
But, well, there's only two real people left. That was crazy. There were so many catfishes. So that was a good theory to have, because it was a strong possibility for that to happen.
Yeah.
You know, I think you might have fared a little better if Manrika had been a catfish. Your conscience could have been clean. Yeah. A little bit more so, but you know, it is what it is. It's like, yo,
but I don't think your conscience should be stained in any way. I think I think you played a brilliant part.
Thank you.
No, but anybody that's got any kind of heart ain't trying to hurt other people. That's just, you know what I mean? That's humankind. You don't want to see somebody else
hurt.
Especially if you feel you're the cause of it, you know, like. I can see where you might feel a little bad.
There was the uncle, the brother, the best friend, bloody hell. I was like, where else am I going to fit in? I was so cringy.
You can just invite you to the family reunion. You're the only one that has to go. You're the entire family. Yeah. So that's crazy. No, but you was in a crazy spot. You was in a weird position. So it's like, and like you said before, like, how can you come clean when you're supposed to wear all these different masks, like you're automatically going to be the bad guy. Like you said that once, you're like, yo, I am the horrible person here. Yeah. I'm the bad guy. Yeah. So you was in for it regardless.
In the sense, I loved how much people started to adore Felix. And I kind of, to me, it was like, I was quite sad because are they going to actually like me as a person? And I became quite detached and invested in this character, and I was pushing him to the end. I was like, he's such a lovable character, clearly. But when I got into my dress at the end, I was shaking. I was like, this isn't me. I'm going to have to take the mask off now. But thank you. You guys were so sweet and loving, and I've had such a good reaction from you guys. And thankfully, it didn't go as badly as I thought. But it is a lesson to all of us, isn't it?
Yeah. Because
if we can take anything away from this, is always ask for a FaceTime video. Don't just cross
the Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yep. You got a good point there.
I must say, I'm sure the real Felix has attracted quite a lot of fan attention as well.
Yeah, you know what's crazy? The crazy part is those, like, Felix is you. So that good guy, it's just a good Natalia. You know what I mean? Like, it's the same people, because I think your core is still the same, even if you're pretending to be somebody else. I still saw a lot of you, I think. You know what I mean? So I don't think you should sell yourself short. It wasn't all Felix. Your soul was in that. You know what I mean? So
I think you've done great.
Yeah.
The show needed that. Like, it was... Mm.
When
Billy and the others, but like for us two, it was the only conversation that felt like the normal world, which I think is why none of it was televised. Because for us two, it was almost it was therapeutic chatting to each other, because the pretense kind of came down. And I think that's why our relationship was never shown, because it was the most boring but wonderful conversation, because it was so lovely. It was just like, that's who to talk to when it got rocky, because it was like, it was a leveler. It was like, okay, this is just, I could be at home now with a couple of mates.
So you had lots of conversation.
So
I rated Felix second all the way through, so I'd always gone #1, and then when Felix came, I think I rated him second all the way, apart from the day after he'd come in. So for me, I was, my top two just was locked in from the final all the way to, as I say, like the first rating after you'd come in. I think that was when I went Manrika second, and every time after it was Natalia.
I must say, Andy, that there were times when I was watching it, if it had been live, I would have tried some sort of psychic psychic projection to you, because I felt you were sold on catfishing, and I think that's such a bad way to play this show.
Yeah, I think the mistake I made was I agreed to be kind of that in the VT, which changed the viewer's mind of it. On day three, I just stopped caring. It became The problem was, though, it was Tim, you've done it. It was the subtext to who I was. Whereas the irony was that Saeed and Felix, my two best mates in there.
Yeah, you knew at the end, and you didn't
know. And like, when they met, they were like, you're not surprised, are you? I was like, no, because once you became as close as you did, you couldn't be fooled by it.
Yeah.
And so I think probably the rabbit hole I let myself go down was being this catfish hunter. So then for the first week, the catfish hunter kept blocking Tally and Billy instead of catfish. And it was just a distraction. I very quickly cottoned on to, after about 4 or 5 days, as soon as you like a person, the rest didn't matter. Right. So I think it was more what you saw than how I played it, because how I played it was I became very close with Dorothy, catfish, Natalia, catfish, Saeed, catfish. Right. So it was more the narrative that I was carrying that, it was probably the error of kind of going in that sense.
Well, I must say, Dorothy Scott played a beautiful catfish.
He was hilarious. I loved him.
It's what one of my biggest disappointments of the show is Scott and I had probably up there with my favorite conversation, where I shared it on the show, but my daughter was born the day of my mom's funeral, and I nearly passed away when I was 18. And I have PTSD, and we ended up in this conversation that was beyond the TV program. And I was choked. He was, and I think he really gutted that it didn't make. So when, but I think it didn't make the edit because obviously the Tally story had to happen. And if you'd have seen that scene, there was no way on this earth, despite how wonderful Tally is, that Tally could have ever have been, because we had a moment that I hadn't had with any person.
Right.
So I was almost gutted it didn't make the, not because I kind of want to troll my life to the world, but there's moments in there, isn't there, where you have a connection. And
well, it's vulnerability.
Yeah, so like, I was really gutted that didn't make the air because I wanted to watch it back because Scott and I both remembered it vividly because it was, for me, one of the most special chats I had in there where, like, a bit like when Nat and I chatted, that it was like, okay, this is the real world now. Like, I'm giving a part of my soul up here that I hadn't shared with other people. So, yeah, Scott was, or Dorothy, amazing person. Yeah.
Did y'all get to meet Nan? Did she come to the final? Did you get
she did a video, though, didn't she, Nat? She did,
yes, a video. Like, yes.
Yeah, she did a video.
Well, that's cool. I would have that would have been cool to actually get to meet her. That would have been awesome.
She's just the coolest Nana, isn't she?
Yeah.
Oh, she's gorgeous. Like,
I want her for my Nan. I mean, we call it Granny here, but you know, I'll take Nan. I want one of them.
And so can we go back to the home videos for a moment?
Oh yeah.
Please, because I just thought, what gorgeous families you have. I want to detour because one of the things I think which is so nice about catfishing, and you're going to find this so shocking, me saying this, Andy, so nice about catfishing, I have to repeat this, so nice about catfishing is that this is to me like sort of the perfect form of acting, providing you're safe. And when I was last in Russia, and I was living, I can't remember what the name of the street is. Really famous. It's got a statue of Prokofiev at one end and Chekhov at the other, and the Moscow State, the Moscow Arts Theatre in the middle.
Yes.
Anyway, the point is, this is where Stanislavski comes from. This is where Stanislavski comes from, and if you go to a modern sort of drama school, you are expected to sort of assume a character and keep it, and you were doing it for a month, and it's really tough, and Hash simply excelled in it. It was, you know, if anybody should be given a scholarship to RADA, I think it is Hash immediately. We ought to see if this can happen, because it was spectacular. And Dorothy was really very good, but he didn't have that. One of the things he didn't have was he was always trying to explain what he was doing. And I felt in the explanations, Natalia, you were sensational. You were just so relaxed about it. And I thought, oh yeah, there's the character, and there's like cool and there's you commenting, yeah, and I cool just felt look. So, I felt so comforted. It was like seeing an actor and seeing the director at the same time. It was blissful. So anyway, but back to the home videos. Really emotional, and really lovely. And lovely to see your mother, and lovely that they subtitled. I was terrible. I love subtitles.
You did those. It wasn't me.
Did they get it right, do you think?
Yeah, to be fair, I didn't watch it properly because my Wi-Fi glitched yesterday. But from what I saw, it was correct.
My Russian isn't as good enough as that I can actually follow whole conversations anymore.
Do you understand what she was saying?
Whenever anybody uses the word like "I love you," I know this very easily. But phrases of Russian remain. I don't think I can construct whole sentences with any confidence. And I was always terrified in Russia of trying to lecture in Russian because it's such a complicated language. And I'm always going to get the wrong gender and the wrong pronoun and all these other bits and pieces. Everything's going to go wrong. You think I can control this sort of thing? You have no idea what disaster is. And you go to a lecture room and you've got 400 people staring at you, and you think, oh my God, and you're going to try and deal with that in another language. It's terrifying, utterly terrifying. But Andy, your family is just so gorgeous.
Yeah,
they helped me out in the edit. What the comments that you heard me say, that was about 20 minutes after the video had played, because I was a total blubbing mess. And
yeah,
it was so good. Like, it was, because moments like that don't happen in the normal world, do they? Like, your wife doesn't ring you to be like, you are a wonderful girl. Like, I know she loves me and I love her and she's so supportive of me. But to have like an unfiltered moment like that was, it was amazing. And I think they captured my kids brilliant. Like, if you could have two sound bites of my kid, like Nat's heard them talking on like voice chats that we have and stuff. Like, that is when I said in my VT, Zach is my unfiltered mind. Cut to Zach going, I want a poo on you, daddy. That was the only thing he said. Like, that is my son. And so it was amazing. It was just everything you could hope it would be. Yeah.
Look, let's have a question, because I asked people to send in questions and I've got quite a number. So Danny 92 Bod, this is for Andy. Can he be your friend? He is. I'll send you the link later. So he's talking about you, and he's saying he is sound and his genuine nature is true friend material. All right, I think that's it. That's it, actually. There isn't a question.
There isn't a question.
I'll take that statement.
Can he be your friend? So there we are. So, I've got a question for you both.
I feel like she's getting the hard-hitting stuff, and Andy's getting off easy.
I've got a question for you both, and it could be applied to me too, so I will be mute, okay? Though I do have a follow-up question of my own for you. So this is from Sherry Abel, M. Sherry Abel. I presume it's Sherry Abel. I do like a little tipple every so often. Now, how do meal times work? Did anyone cook in the... this person says, how did meal times work? This is subsequent. How did meal times work, Natalia? Come on. Dish the dirt. Did you eat?
Yes, I ate out of the pan.
That cucumber.
I remember the cucumber. I have to confess, I'm always afraid of a cucumber and a banana on screen. I just think, you don't go there. But I thought it was very brave of you to tackle a cucumber.
Oh, it's me.
Just he's being naughty. Naughty, naughty.
Natalia
tackling a cucumber.
So did you cook? You cooked, Natalia.
Yeah, but they'd remind you, they'd be like, oh, it's lunchtime.
I know.
They'd keep telling you if you forget, but I was always eating, so they were never worried.
They were terribly worried about me. They'd say, it's lunchtime, you haven't eaten. What are you going to eat today? I always eat the same thing. Morning, noon, night. It's always the same. And at one point, fish started appearing in my fridge. I thought, what are they trying to tell me? What are they trying to tell me? You know, that I got the wrong career? I don't know, and it was quite unpleasant fish. But Andy, did you cook?
Yeah, I cooked.
Because you're a foodie, aren't you?
Yeah. So I was in there though, I wasn't actually very well. So some of the days, I just ate the same four meals because I have like safety food. Yep. So like every day it was just this repetition of like, and so my bug was like, Andy, you need to have bagels with protein spread now. Andy, you haven't taken your ciprofloxacillin now.
Like, yes.
So no, I cooked every day, but I got a bit too adventurous at the beginning, which then resulted in a quite restricted diet. But no, I cooked every day. My famous corn and soya wraps that my bugs were like, walk through it, and I'd make them and grate everything onto them. So yeah, no, cooked myself.
But Syed seemed a little lost in the cookery department.
I think a few of the guys were, to be fair.
Yeah, Billy, I was so impressed when he tried.
Saeed was in a bad spot though, because it's not like he can ask for help, whereas Billy could be like, yo, I don't know how to work this oven. Saeed couldn't even ask for help though. That was the sad part.
Why not?
You're a cook, if you have a restaurant, wouldn't it look kind of suspicious if you're asking other people about, you know what I mean? Like,
I hadn't thought of that. I'd simply thought of his age.
No, yeah. It's got nothing to do with age. No,
In my series, we had this thing where we had to cook breakfast for each other.
We didn't do that.
You didn't have one of these because, and I also baked a cake for Brooke. Partly, I think because I didn't believe Brooke was actually baking cakes herself. I heard so much about cake baking that I thought, you know, the lady does protest too much.
I confirm that she does bake cakes because I had the same producer as her and we baked cakes.
Well, they were so fussy about letting me have scales, but I know now why they were fussy, because the scales I think they gave to Brooke had the time on them.
So that
sort of gave the game away. But but Andy, you had a watch on.
Yeah. Well, they said to me, you need to take your watch off. I was just like, no.
How long was it before they realised you had a watch on?
I think it was day 20 when they spotted it. And so by that point, I was like, I don't know the reason I was allowed it. And then on that, so because they asked me to take it off, I assume potentially I wasn't. But obviously, because I had this conversation, I said, well, remember, I've been an influencer. I've been there in a T-shirt with the watch.
With the watch, yes. So you can think, oh, my goodness, they're watching me so carefully. Yeah. No, absolutely. Okay, let's move on. I got another question. I've got so many of these. Emma Carpenter. I can't be sure I'm getting everybody's name right because I scribbled them down in pencil myself. You see, looks like that. And Emma Carpenter, this is for Natalia. It's another heavy one. Sorry.
Andy's like, yes.
If you had gone in as yourself, who would you have made friends with, and how do you think it would have played out differently?
Well, I was really jealous of the Circle Angels and the Geezer Girls. I really wanted to be part of that gang. So I think I'd have tried straight away to be part of the girls, because I don't have very many girl mates at work. So I was so desperate to just get in with the girls. It would have been so, I don't know how they would have received me, but.
Well, Manrika cut all her girlfriends. So
I know.
Yeah, there was one after the other.
She's like, I'm with you to the end. Block. She was like out for blood, so I don't know if you would have fared very much, very well.
I've always had a slight problem with the term blocked. I feel that when the Circle comes back next time, rather than being promoted by Pink Bingo or something, it ought to be advertised by Dukalax. You'll never be blocked with Dukalax.
You're just so full of ideas, Tim. It's wild.
You just press a button and out they come. Andy, if you had been a catfish, who would you have been? Is that even possible? It must be possible, because they would have asked you if you would catfish, and you would have said yes at some point, I'm sure. Because they pushed me to be a catfish.
No, it was never a conversation. We never
Andy, how?
Ever.
How?
It was literally, they never said once, would you, it was, they just never, and to the point where I was almost so naive going on the show that I was like, oh shit, yeah, there's catfish. And it just never came up in the conversation. But who would, if I did it, who would I have played? I think I'd have picked someone that you know. I think picking someone you know is kind of key. Like, I'd have gone for a really obscure. I'd have gone for a retired footballer.
Oh, that would be very good. George Best?
No.
Actually, he's more than retired, isn't he? He's yep. Whoops. Careful of that one. My birth uncle used to make suits for him, apparently.
I'd have got in as like someone that's had previous profile, but that I could carry off with my own personality. That's how I'd play it.
Yeah.
If you go too far away from what you know, you get found. So I would want to be me with someone else's picture.
I also think there's a big problem with gender and with age. If you get too far away from your own age, or you move between genders, so this is why, Natalia, you did so well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
There's not a problem, is there, Tim? I did it.
You did it superbly. I just think what was extraordinary watching you was with other catfish, with Dot and with Saeed, by the way. There was a sentence last night where he didn't do the present continuous.
Yes.
And I thought, no, you're going to be found out. But nobody picked it up. I think he was talking to you, Natalia.
I don't remember.
It was in that group chat.
Yeah.
And it was just, I think he was talking about the family visit. And just for one moment, I think he moved away from his character. But I think with almost every catfish, when I've been watching, I've been, no, keep it up, keep going, you're revealing yourself. I never felt that anxiety with you, Natalia, at all. I felt so comfortable with your character.
Well, she said she was going to reveal before the finale, right? Is you was going to reveal. And
I had my heart set on it. And
Were you just going to reveal to everyone that? We've never had this chat. Were you going to tell? I know you were thinking of telling people. I know you were going to tell people.
I was going to do it in the final chat, but... They just, yeah.
They wouldn't let you.
They wouldn't, and I had a big chat with them the night before. It's not that they wouldn't let me. It was just such a busy schedule, and I don't think it would have worked for the final, especially with everything we went through. It was just such a busy day. Every time I wanted to, it was, sorry, there's this and this. You know how it is.
Had that conversation before the ratings or after?
Right before the ratings. I wanted to be rated fairly on who I was, and I knew I'd have shot myself in the foot, but I just had this kind of glimmer of hope, like maybe because, you know, there is still parts of me in this character that you guys would have accepted me, but I was clutching at straws and...
Jamie Sedgefield here is saying they didn't want you to lose the drama.
Yeah, probably.
That's true. But they would have had to allot the amount of time to be able to show everybody's reactions to you.
Well, this is what
revealing
I mean.
Yourself.
A new narrative. Yeah.
Yeah.
I never had a catfish album. I didn't have a real me album. You know how some catfish have, you know, the real them. I didn't have one of those. So, yeah.
You didn't have a book with all the information in?
No, as in, you know, your pictures, you know how some catfish have the real me kind of photo album. I didn't have one of those.
I don't know what you mean. In
the American series where the lady was a different lady in it. Yeah, I can't remember. And then she revealed who she actually was.
So you didn't have that option, actually.
I didn't have her own pic.
Yeah, I don't know if we do that, but... It must be an option to have. I don't know.
Well, because in a sense, that's what Paddy did, isn't it, in my series?
Yeah.
So that option to reveal more about himself was already there. I don't know. I have to ask some of the other people whether or not they had. I have to ask James whether or not he had a file to reveal himself as not being Sammy and Charlie. I knew so early on. It was extraordinary.
Really?
And you must. I knew almost on day one. Yeah.
Oh.
And I knew about Jay. I didn't know who Jay was until about 2 days before I had a conversation with him, which is the only conversation I had. But by that point, I knew absolutely that it was Katie.
And that was the best conversation, how they kind of showed your chats. It was amazing.
The reason I was laughing was because I could see in my mind how they would edit it. And it was just, it wasn't possible to edit it any other way. And, you know, that's how it went down. Let's have another question. So, Circle Family. Oh, there's a person who's asked this, of course, Circle Fam, I think, or Circle Fan. I think I've had a problem with the middle of the alphabet. Right. How have you felt about all the fan response and interaction, and how have you managed to block out the hate? Oh, it gets a bit dark, sorry.
That's a good question, though.
Yeah, go on.
Either one of you.
For me, it's been, at the start, it wasn't very pleasant, but you just have to not look. And I know it's hard not to kind of indulge in it, but as long as you understand that these people are normally reacting to something that perhaps triggers them or is something that's probably painful to them, and it's not towards you, it's towards this character that you're playing, you have to just keep that in mind every time you watch a TV show. And you know, to the gap between thinking it and then writing it out on a public forum is very important, and you need to have that kind of stop gap before you think, you know, if this person would see what I'm writing. But I don't know if people become such diehard fans, and I didn't realize things like this existed till I did a TV show. And like, you know, people get so invested in characters that they seem to think that, you know, they kind of own you in a sense, and they can narrate your story for you. And it was quite scary at one point, but you know, for me, positive, it has been more of a positive experience. But I know, you know, Manrika's had some horrendous abuse, and I don't really know how you deal with that. How people can afford to go that far. I think there should be things in place, but how do you, you know, please the internet? It's such a...
Well, I always say that I think the biggest part of reality TV in general, no matter what show you're on, it's the after, you know what I mean? After it airs, after you're on TV, when you come home, like from Survivor, when we came home, it's the after that is actually the hardest part about the whole situation. And I don't think that any show really prepares you enough for what's to come. I think all you see is like, oh man, I'm going to be on this great TV show. I'm going to have so much fun. I'll do these amazing things. And then afterwards you're like, holy shit. Like this is like on another level. And I think everybody that's ever been on a TV show, 95% of the participants didn't anticipate what was going to come after the fact. And if so, a lot of them probably wouldn't have done it in the first place, especially those like Manrika that has gotten a ton of heat and a ton of hate. I think that maybe it makes her second guess whether or not even going on the show was something she should have done, especially when she fell just short of winning. You know what I mean? It makes you rethink everything. So I just don't agree with the hate. I don't think you should send anybody hate, whether you hate them inside or not. Just keep it to yourself, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just don't believe in that. I totally feel for anybody that's received it on y'all's cast and in future shows and past shows. You know what I mean? I where's the love? You know what I'm saying? Like, let's spread that around a little bit, you know?
Amen.
Yeah. Andy.
Yeah, I suppose I probably was the most naive out of the cast in social media. Like, I, as part of the application, I think had an Instagram account that was essentially dormant. Mm-hmm. And so to go from, I think, like 110 to 42,000 is quite an overwhelming experience. Yeah. Like I had 1,700 messages last night, and I just don't know what you do with that information. Like, it's And the thing for me is it's been overwhelmingly positive. Of course, there's negative, particularly the thankful night of my bowel airing on the third episode. About half the internet decided to go, oh, I'm Andy and I have no bowel. But it
really?
I got cane. But it's not easy.
And it's a serious issue, isn't it?
Well, and the thing for me was, so take the situation with me and Manrika. What I couldn't grasp the irony of the people that felt for me, because let's be honest, it's quite uncomfortable viewing, then thought what the most appropriate course of action is to do the very thing that's happening to Andy to that person. Mm. I couldn't believe that they couldn't see that their own act. So no one deserves it. I just, my view on it all was, if you wouldn't say it to a person face to face, which they wouldn't, where does it compel you to go, right, I'm going to go on my phone now and I'm going to send this because this person definitely needs to hear what I think. So yeah. I find it challenging because it's,
yeah,
I see there's a benefit to social media. I fully do. But I think it's really borderline in terms of, before I get too deep about what it does politically, what it does culturally, I think people that I know with mental health conditions, the extreme end of it is so terrifying, mm-hmm. but it's so easy to do. That's the challenge for me, is that it's the most accessible thing in the world and the most damaging. And yeah. As a society, without being too deep, we intrinsically cannot be trusted generally. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's, yeah. And I mean that, yeah. Like, there's a load of great people in the world, but the people that are willing to share the hate do. Mm. And the ones that are more cautious with their views don't. And I think that's a really challenging place to find yourself in, because no amount of preparation, as you were saying, can prepare you for it. And I have not looked at the comments, but they've been sent to me. So even when you don't look for them, people screenshot them and then go, you need to see this.
Yeah, and exactly.
So you go, why do I need to see this? Like, my life has been enriched by the positivity, but we're all human. You could have 100 positive comments, and if one comment knocks on the door of your insecurities, that is a killer blow. And I think that's the bit that you can never be prepared for. And I don't know how you legislate for it, because it's too easy to send a hateful message with zero repercussion.
Well, it's not just the hateful comments, you know, because people say hateful things. It's the ones that are like, yo, I'm going to kill you. Like, you should kill yourself. Like, that's the stuff that's like mind blowing to me, that there's so much. Like, I call it just pure evil, yo, because if you coming at somebody like that, you don't have nothing inside of here that tells me it's good. It's like, because there's been people that's been bullied online and through social media and stuff that has literally took their own lives. I think it's a huge issue and a huge problem, and I don't know how we fix it either. I have no clue on how to fix it. The only thing I know is you just shut this damn thing off, so they can't get a hold of you. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm like you, Andy, before I ever went on Survivor, I didn't even have Instagram. I didn't have Twitter. I had nothing. I had a Facebook, which my wife would post pictures on. I didn't even use it.
You get it.
And so when I went on Survivor, right before the show aired, everybody from the cast was like, yo, you need to get social media so your fans can get a hold of you. I'm like, oh, okay. So I downloaded the app in August. And then by the time it was ended, I had 25,000 followers. So I went from zero to 25. And I was like, this is crazy. And I, like you, I loved all the love. But then they were having just one or two little comments in there, here and there. Yeah. And it's like, no, that hurts.
Mine's been so positive that I'm almost kind of, I suppose, preaching on behalf of it. Because I've had one in the entire show direct message that was negative. That's the truth. And so I feel very... Very lucky. But I'm with a bunch of other people that I care about, and they haven't been that lucky. And the thing is, you get attached to it. So to defend me, we have to attack another, in my example.
Right.
I carry that guilt as well then. And you're like, you're caught in a scenario that isn't you. And I think that's the danger, is that people mean well, but others don't. I just can't rationalise it as Nat said, there is a gap between thinking it and sending it, but I don't know what gives you actually the courage to send it. That's the bit for me. Is how do you have that courage? Because yeah. I would say I'm brave, and I don't. I don't have it in me. So
yeah, I just I'm about lifting people up, not tearing them
down.
That's it. And so it's like for me to like send somebody something that extreme or that hateful, I just can't fathom why you would do it. I just don't get it. But like you, Andy, I literally was on a season that the most controversial season of Survivor. It's the most hated out of all seasons. Right. And I came out as America's favorite. So I literally got a little tidbit of the hate that my cast had gotten. And I feel for them because just the small hate that I got, it's like, yo, that you're really attacking my character and you don't even know me. Or the situation, because you know there's a lot of things that go down because of the edit, and like they thought I was involved in things when I wasn't, and it's like I could swear on everything, but you're not gonna believe me. It's just it's crazy to me, and we could go on for hours about this stuff because I'm pretty passionate about not hating on other people or being mean to people or just and so it really frustrates me. But I'm just gonna leave it at you should always be kind when you can because kindness goes a long way. And you'd be surprised on how many people don't follow that simple little rule. You know what I mean? That I try to instill in everybody around me. But I'm just pushing it out there. Positive vibes. You guys calm it down a little. You know, calm your tits, as I would say. Calm your tits with the hate. I hate that shit. So, well, all right, I'm done.
I think part of the problem with reality TV and social media is the choice of the people that we sort of push into the spotlight, because vulnerability commands attention. Yeah. And so very often it seems, you look for people who are particularly vulnerable. There was a message just there about Nikki Graham, who's just died today, who was in Big Brother. And only a week ago, I was speaking to Pete Bennett, who was in Big Brother with her, and we were discussing her, we were talking about her, I didn't see her series. My partner saw it and kept calling me in and saying, oh look, there's this fella Pete, and so I sort of knew it was going on, but so we knew Nikki had an eating disorder, and then I think in the Big Brother scenario she was. She was put in a situation where she couldn't eat stuff or she had to eat stuff or something. And it was as if this was the button they were pressing. And that seems to me to be extremely manipulative and really awful. I'm so sorry about Nikki anyway.
What happened to her? She was on Big Brother and she passed away today?
On Big Brother and I think she's died today. I don't know. There was just message here on the... I was just reading through the...
That's crazy.
Now I've lost it. It was some time ago, actually.
See, that should tell you life is too short. You shouldn't like base everything on so like get out there and live, yo. Like leave other people alone and mind your business and take care of each other because we're not here for very long. You know what I mean? We're not here for very long. So just love it and live it and quit being mean, you know? Come on. Yeah.
Don't you all want an Elaine in your life? I think it's so wonderful.
Where do you live in America?
I live in Kentucky, just redneck town, Kentucky.
I love America. I've done Texas and Louisiana, and it's just some of the kindest, sweetest people.
Yeah, I live on a 100-acre farm, and we got ponds and, you know, razors and four-wheelers and dirt bikes. We do the whole redneck
and the dogs. Country
thing. Yeah, I'm down to 4 or 5 dogs now. I had about 16. I'm down to 4 or 5.
Wow.
But, yeah, we just... out here living the best life, minding our own business, you know, just trying to spread love and positivity and stay away from that hate, you know. But hey, listen, if either one of you are ever in the States, tell them this goes for you too. I invited you before.
I'm looking forward to it.
Any of you guys ever want to come to Kentucky, you can literally holler at me. I will come meet you. We will bring you out to the sticks and show you a redneck good time. I'll tell you.
What are the big portion sizes, the American food?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's why I'm a little chunky, and I refer to myself as a busted can of biscuits, because we put a lot more on our plate than we should, you know.
I don't understand this, Elaine, because I eat so little, and yet I seem to be sort of ballooning out in all directions. It's disturbing.
Well, that's genetics. That's genetics, Tim. We can't do nothing.
I think it's Weetabix, actually. Anyway, I have another question from Emma. This is for Natalia. Loved your sock hair tip. Do you or Andy, you're not excluded from this one. Do you or Andy have any other tricks or hacks to share?
In life?
In life or hair?
Oh, I think land. They're interchangeable. my answer to hair is like, have a hat. What?
I would love to hear Andy's hair hacks.
Andy, what's
your hair? Come on, Andy. We need all your hair advice. You can start a salon.
I don't have advice, but when I was in the show, you know, when they ask you to do something before a chat happens, it used to be like your morning routine.
Yes.
I have so little hacks. This was my morning routine when they'd say, you can chat to Felix. I'm ready. that was as much as I would ever do. It was. I have zero life hacks to do with hair.
But somehow they got me using a comb in the show. I have never used a comb in my life. And I got out of the show, the comb was abandoned. Immediately, you know,
I would have
one too far, really. I think I parted the hair in the middle and I left it that. Oh, what is this? Ah, yes,
I was waiting for you to do this. I was waiting for this. The socks,
my socks. Was...
Did you just take your sock off? Did
yes. It's wonderful.
All right,
you just tie your hair around it. You just braid it around it, and then you like. I'll do a tutorial, guys.
What's that do though? Like, what? It just I don't have hair. I shaved all mine off.
I might do the same. It's just such a fuss.
Oh, it's lovely. Yeah. Please don't.
All right.
It's a lot easier. I just wear this hat all the time. I don't even brush it. Don't have to wash it if I don't want to. Like, it's great. It's great.
Yeah, my mind's beginning to fall out by the sort of. I think it's the stress of watching your season.
we're going to blame that. We'll blame that.
We never take responsibility ourselves. You know, blame something else. Now, here's a good one for both of you, and I'm not allowed to say anything here. So, this is from Emma. Was it strange to be talking to yourself all the time and saying everything out loud?
Tanya's like, I do this all the time.
You get used to it. It happens quite quickly. You become institutionalized within hours.
Do you guys do it at home?
Yeah, do you do it at home? Do you do it at home?
Yeah. I talk to my partner or I chatter to myself. It's just natural.
In the living room, like, oh, I'm going to get on my phone now. I wonder if...
Did any of you, when you would receive a message, the thing I struggled to get out of the habit of was when someone sent me a message and, I don't know, if Nat said, like, fisty bump emoji in a message, I would read it as fist bump emoji, laughing, crying emoji.
I need to check out this one. So is it 50 or is it 50? Is it 50?
I think it's neither. I think it's fist bump. But Natalia always goes, fist bump emoji.
Great hand. Done.
I love this.
How does it make sense, 50 bump? What the hell is a 50?
I have no idea.
He said he thought it was 50 bump.
I just hear these noises, and my eyesight is just going so badly at the moment that I just see these yellow dots on the screen. So those are the little fists, aren't they?
It was
either fists or daffodils. I thought, you're not talking about daffodils. Now, one last question, and I've almost exhausted everything. Right. What was it like actually being on the circle? If this were a Masonic question, it would be, what was it like being on the square? So what was it like actually being on the circle compared to watching it back? That's the first part of the question. Shall we stop there and we come back?
That's a good one. That's okay.
What was it like watching yourself?
No, wait.
Yes. Yeah, Andy. Come on.
I think it's easier to play than it is to watch, would be my personal view. You still have the emotions when you watch it. You remember the feelings. Oh, look at the dog. But it's far easier to play than it is to watch. But it's a unique experience because it's what you see is very little. Sorry, it's not very much like how it is to play the game. I think there is a real difference between the two, but both are enthralling, I would say. It's a unique experience to kind of, because we had total isolation, because I believe it was slightly different before, but because of COVID, we had no human contact. So that was, other than going to the roof, it was quite a joyous experience at the beginning. And then the real isolation for me was like, wow, this is, time is passing slowly now at this point. So no, going on, it was brilliant. It was a great experience, but very different. I watched it as though it was Andy from the circle, not me, because I was watching something that felt not alien. I was there. I know what happens and I know how the story ends, but the context is different. And so once I got out of watching myself, which took about 3 or 4 days, I found it way more palatable to watch, would be my personal view.
Did you have moments, though, where you were like total cringy, like, oh, my God, I can't believe I've done that? Because I did, when I played Survivor, some of the things I said or whatever, I was like, what are you thinking? Like, what's wrong with you? Did you have those moments?
I said, do you want that now?
I mean, oh, my
God. Yeah.
With your girlfriend? All your chats, right? Oh, well, yeah, I could see where you would be like, oh, my God, I can't believe. That was some tough. That was some tough stuff to watch in times. And I'm not even you, so I can't imagine your cringe level was probably through the roof. And it's like, are you guys still friends? Do you guys, like, are you guys cool? Have you squashed
cool.
it?
We're absolutely cool. I mean, like, I'm really close to certain players like Andy, Shabazz, Vipin. But, you know, we're all quite friendly with each other and we've all got each other's backs till the end. It's such a unique experience. I don't think you'll ever be unbonded from that, you know.
Well, I just didn't know if where, you know, you played her, if there was still some feelings of animosity, say, from her side, you know, for... Do you think she caught, like, legit feelings? Do you think she did?
I think when I was in the game, I thought so, but watching it back, it was always towing the line for me. I think she it was a bit of both for her. Maybe she liked him, but it was also good for her as well having me there. So I don't know. We've not spoken on that level, so
right.
We'll have to catch up quad bike.
You might have to channel your inner Felix and get her to go there, you know what I'm saying?
I
felt that really in some ways the Natalia Manrika meeting was the one that production wanted to have, and it wasn't quite what they expected because you both sort of you were both already there. You'd worked it out, I think, or Manrika had worked it out. So that didn't have that sort of energy that they wanted. In the same way, when I did my show, they desperately wanted the James Tim meeting to be Tim looking horrified at being a catfish, and they did get some sort of they did get a camera angle which looks as if I'm annoyed. I wasn't remotely annoyed. I just thought, who is this wonderful man?
Yeah.
And this is the man I've been talking to, and I knew he wasn't real. And I got the impression I saw that in Manrika's face as well.
Yeah.
Whereas oddly, although you all knew that Tom was fake, that was a much more energetic meeting. I think because you were all agreed that it was that he was. I think he was. You were sort of prepared for it.
Yeah.
And I think there's something to be said for not having that shock moment, because I don't think it really works. I hate being surprised.
I hate surprises.
I really do. I mean, if you want, my birthday is in just over a month, and I am.
When's your birthday?
It's on the 12th of May. It's one of those big ones which only has one digit and a zero.
I'm 5 days before you.
I know you are. You're the 7th, aren't you?
Yes.
We ought to have a common celebration.
A circle party. You should have a circle party. Andy can wear his elephant outfit.
28th of April.
Are you?
Good memory. Yeah.
We could all be interchangeable. So I'm going to be 60, but I am hoping nobody tries any sort of surprises. I'm hoping somebody does something. It would be disappointing if it passes off without anybody doing anything. I would like at least a candle, but I don't know. I've not been 60 before.
It's, Tim, you need
can I? Can too. I? Can I have a? Can I have a one? You one of your balloons?
You're gonna have to send them one of those.
I'm terribly needy anyway. Look, I've got the other.
Don't be huffing the helium out of those either, Tim. I'm not having like a party.
I might produce my own. Now, the end of the second thing. Was there anything that felt very different, either from the show's editing or from your own hindsight?
Natalia can answer this.
In the sense that when I was actually on the show, I absolutely loved it at the start because it was so organically away from social media, away from distractions. I read so many books. I created so many. It was just wonderful. It was, you know, my producers were really lovely and we baked cakes and we spoke and we, you know, we laughed. And it was only when I was acting in front of the camera or having chats that I was slightly more on edge, but the rest of the time was really quite relaxed for me and time flew by because I just kept myself busy. But watching it back, it just looks a little bit different, but I guess that's the story arcs and how they want us to be seen in a way. So it is weird. Like Andy said, it's like watching your character. It's not watching yourself. Mm-hmm. You're just watching someone acting you out. So it's quite bizarre.
Andy, you said time crawled by. Do you think it had to do with the fact that you had a watch on, so you was checking it constantly?
Yeah, because the hours that you're filming are mind-blowing. So actually, I had perspective. I think without that, there would be a benefit to it because you're filming or doing stuff for an inordinate amount of time. Like it is 18-hour days. Like it's long.
Yeah.
So I think because I had the perspective of how long it was and because I knew times, you know, when an alert will happen, you will know when things take place because that's your yardstick, days, times, minutes, hours. It wasn't tedious. Like, it wasn't difficult. It wasn't sad. It was just, you were just conscious of the time and you were like, right. Oh, God, chuck me in another chat, put a game, do something.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you would like Nancy, you just churn through books, and I was like, yeah. I'm running out of ones that were on my tick list of ones that I really wanted to get through. But yeah, if you left me, I would read 10 books a week, but great viewing.
Would you play again knowing everything that you know now about, you know, everything you was just describing and everything that has to do with the show? Would you play again? Look at Natalia's like, I don't know about that.
I would, but under certain kind of
if it was live,
conditions. Yeah, like live, I'd go in probably as a pair, because I think that's critical. I wouldn't be against the idea, but I wouldn't do what I did differently. But if I was to do it again, it would be different, so to speak. Yeah,
right. Yeah.
There's one question I had which is left over, and then we have to probably stop, which is Gemma James, Andy.
Yeah.
I don't think I need to do any more. I don't need to articulate the question, just a pile of names throw at you.
I think that kind of emphasised my earlier point about you don't care so much about the catfish, despite the narrative. That's why I was like, are you catfishing me? It was very casual to me. As like, I was desperate for James to become... Like, our conversation was about 90 minutes, I think. Yes. That chat that you see with me in the gym, the irony as well that I was put in the gym. I thought that was very clever.
Very good. Very good, isn't it, really? You know, that's nice.
But it was lovely. Because the thing I was, because for those that know what Gladiators was, it ended up with just me and him hashtagging like, Awoga, you will go on my first whistle. And
because you were a great fan as a child, weren't you?
I went like, that was our treat as a kid. Like we were like, doom, doom, doom. And another one bites the dust. So I thought it was so funny. I was actually lifting the barbell at the time. I fell backwards. I was, you know, when I went piss off and then I went Awoga, I fell over. I was in pieces. And it was, for me then, when we did games that afternoon, I kept trying to give a little nod to like Hunting. And so no, I thought it was great. And I was, so that was also why I had no intention, which you didn't see. I committed to James that I wasn't going to share it with the cast. I was like, this is for us, because I really wanted him to come out as him, because I thought the way he'd been put in the Assassin game, his best chance of survival was as him.
Yeah.
Because that storyline had buried him. It was over.
Absolutely.
And you could feel James scrambling, and actually beneath the surface was a really decent guy, but he was clawing at how he survived. And I felt for Gemma at the top, because you could feel them clinging on to the show, and the things they were saying were so out of character that you were like, it wasn't cruel, it wasn't like that, but you were watching a character kind of crumble. And I think all of us in the show could feel what's coming. So I was almost wanting him to go on his terms, which I think that conversation with me was his realisation of this is over, and the person who I get on the best with or whatever it might be is the person that I'm going to kind of reveal my truth to. Because James, Gemma and Saeed were the two people at the beginning that they were most of my chats. That was where 90% of my relationships were built, between those two at the beginning. So I loved it. I thought it was I was gutted you didn't see. I viewed that conversation as looking two-dimensional when it was three-dimensional, but I understand for the narrative why it wasn't. But there was a whole lot of... So when James said on the screen that he was choked, it's because it was a really nice moment. It wasn't someone aggressively going, you need to leave then. It was someone going, like, okay, I've got you. All I wanted to know was the truth, because we get on. That's all I needed to know. The rest is superfluous to me. Like, it's a TV show and I accept that. But we get on, so I'd just like to know what's happening, because you keep doing things that seem very out of character. So that explained his behaviour, and so it was really easy. So when I did the blocking with Manrika, I said, because production were like, surely you're going to use this. This is like gold. And I was like, nope, if she wants to block, that's the direction we'll go in, but I'm not going to take it there with his information. So I knew I had to come clean the following day, because Manrika, I just knew, once you'd be on the show, you knew he was going to be sent there. So
yes, I thought that was a bit cruel, actually. But
so I knew that he'd tell her, because it would be logical. He'd go, well, I'm gone because Andy knew. So I knew she'd be like, well, why didn't he tell me? So I was like, because the way I was playing it, I was like, well, it's only right to tell the guys that I knew. But I wanted to use the information when it wasn't of power. It was totally neutral at that point. So that felt like the best moment to kind of reveal that, I suppose.
In the edit that we saw, of course, it weakens your position, actually.
Yes, of course. Yeah, no, it did. Whereas at the time...
It felt empowering. It felt right.
You've got to remember at that point, this is where mine and Manrika's relationship as well is starting good, but you can feel the turn was starting to happen. So I knew it was going to end up...
Felix's fault.
So I knew it was coming. So I was like, I need to tell people, because it was on my terms rather than Manrika's. But it was a lose-lose situation, because sticking it in a group chat, people would have been like, who's this guy to tell us? So... it felt like I'd got to get the information out before Manrika outed it.
Also, one of the other fascinating things about being involved in a television show like this is you're living it, and the editors, who are utterly brilliant. I always take my hat off. I've got a hat on today, for I always take my hat off to the editors because they construct this story. But of course, they are doing it in hindsight. They're doing it with hindsight. So they know where the story is going, whereas you don't. You're actually living it in real time. And it's harder to see where these little arcs are going. So it is a tough call. I think you did the right thing, by the way.
Yeah, I knew that it was me or Manrika telling people. So the whole point was it had to be me because I knew I couldn't control the narrative at that point. I was aware people are going, well, this is a weird thing to talk about. Mm. But it was coming out one way or another. Once he'd given me the information, I either buried him with it or let him stay in, which I thought was more appropriate, and then tell people because I knew he was going to tell whoever he met. Like the moment he told me, I knew it was becoming part of my journey in there. So I thought I'd rather own it and deal with the consequences of it.
Mm.
You started struggling after that. You kind of had a week of you kind of went downhill a little bit. And I literally, like Tim, I thought you was going to go home. But you've done an amazing job with the recovery. I think the new people coming in and kind of, I guess, testing the boundaries of all the other old school people, I think that helped you because it kind of gave you guys a mutual enemy to focus on. You know, when you guys
And you can't underestimate when the best friend game happened. That is circle suicide when everyone goes Andy, like it's the beginning of the end. And so once Pippa and Femi were neutralized, I suppose, in that sense of not gone, the equilibrium rebalanced because although the others weren't aware of it, people were taking sides. They were pawns, essentially. And the moment Pippa and Femi went, I'd gone from my three biggest critics, two disappearing, one being neutralised, to new people coming in and coming back in with the knowledge that they'd been played by this person. So my ratings were only ever going to go back up then because the truth will out, I suppose, is the reality. And so Tim and I had a conversation. All I was like trying to do was stay in the game long enough that it would naturally. I'd never thought I'd finish as the super influencer, but I thought if you survive seventh, something's got to be going in your favour, which I obviously had Nat and Scott to thank for that. But that was where the connections mattered.
Right.
Yeah.
I think unfortunately we need to stop. But I have so much enjoyed meeting you both. And seeing all your balloons, Natalia. And I have to say dobro vieci. Yeah, there we are, you see.
What is that? What's that?
Good Doberman evening.
Picture? Doberman
picture. Oh, did I get it right?
Yes. Dobro vieci.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
But look, so we have to go around. So Natalia, where would we find you? On social media,
did you mean?
Yes.
What's my name?
No, we're coming to your house, Natalia. Where do you live?
I'm on a very secure camp, but you can come.
Nothing can stop a visit from Santa.
I am Natalia Platt 1.
There we are. And Andy, where can we find you?
I'm glad you asked Natalia. It gave me a chance because I don't know.
He's Googling it.
It took me weeks to work this one out, by the way.
Well, that's Andy, why I just put it in my chat or in my
Andy Smith, all one thing, underscore two beans.
There we are. And Elaine, where can we find you?
Well, mine, as you can see, is where my name
there.
Is.
That's yeah. Right.
Elaine.32.
It's at Elaine.32. You can find me on Instagram or Twitter. If you holler at me, I'll holler at you back. I love talking to my fans. And it was so nice talking to you guys. I love the accents. I could talk to you guys all day long. Some of the things you guys say, just I'm like, yo, I need to look this up because I have no idea. No, but it was super nice meeting you guys. Tim, tell us where we can find you.
And I'm Professor _Tim_Wilson. That's Instagram. And Twitter is almost the same. I think it's prof_Tim_Wilson. But do reach out. Love hearing from everybody. And we I am back tomorrow doing the finale of Survivor, and we're meeting Lex. And otherwise, I hope that we are back to discuss the USA series of The Circle in about a week or so, or something like that. God knows. God probably does know, actually. You know, there we are. Right. On that note, divinity calls. Father Tom has spoken. Off we go. Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us.